John's Gospel, chapter number 18 this evening. John's Gospel, chapter number 18. And I wish I could challenge you tonight as your preacher to listen to what the Word of God's got to say. I may make a mess of this sermon, but I know the Bible's right. And I'd ask you to just try to bear with me tonight, and if you could just give the Word of God your ear. And don't come in here with the attitude, well, it's Sunday night, let's hurry up and get through this. Let's see what the Lord's got to say to us out of the Word of God. Because that's the only thing that's going to last, is the Word of God. And in John's Gospel, chapter number 18, start reading down in to verse number 15, and Simon Peter followed Jesus. What a statement. Jesus will take you some places if you'll get in behind Him. And so did another disciple. Many have wrote, and figure it's John, and said that disciple was known unto the high priest. Now they've taken the Lord, they're fixing to crucify Him, and they've taken Him into the judgment hall. Peter's followed Him a long way. And the Bible said that when Jesus went in the palace of the high priest in verse 16, but Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door to Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? Now here's a man, help me now. Here's a man's done walked on the water. Peter walked on the water to go to Jesus. Here's a man that has healed the sick. Here's a man that had went down the seashore and throwed out a hook with nothing on it, and a fish come out with a coin in his mouth. Look what he said. I am not. And the servants and officers stood there who made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus, and warned Himself. You may be seated tonight. Father, we love You. We thank You, God, how good You've been to us. Oh, Holy Ghost, would You help us tonight in the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God? I sure do need You to help me. Make this real to my heart tonight. I pray, God, You'd speak to us and help us like only You, our great God, can do. And in Jesus' name I pray and I ask You, amen and amen. We preached last Sunday, the Lord's dealt with our heart in a series on some doors that we find in the Bible, what I like to call Bible doors. Now, we looked last Sunday as Jesus said, I am the door. He's the good shepherd. There we found He's the door of great direction. You'll never get to heaven without God's Son. And tonight I want to look here at Peter standing at the door. We find it a door of discovery. A door of discovery. Now, Peter has followed the Lord and he goes right on down toward Pilate's hall and things get a little heated in the moment. All of a sudden, he's found people smacking and spitting up on the Lord, and things got down to where he lived, and all of a sudden, he walked up to a door in his life. One disciple went in it, and Peter didn't go in. Had to be a damsel come out and bring him on through the door. A lot of times in our life, I found out that it's some doors that I hate to face in my life that I really hate to go through. I'd love to tell you that being a Christian's real easy, but sometimes it's not. And so Peter found himself at this door that he wouldn't go in, that somebody else had to take him through, but going through that door, he denied the Lord, and he had a discovery or a light come on in his life. I've noticed that a lot of times it's easy to look over yonder and see how somebody else is doing, and it's easy to say how I would react till I can get over there and go through that door with them. Now I want to say tonight in way of preaching, it's three things why I call this the door of discovery. When Simon Peter came and went through this door and he denied the Lord, I believe that he found out of this door of discovery, I believe he found out who Satan was. I wish Satan was who the average Baptist thought he was, a little feller with a pitchfork leaned up in the corner with a red suit. But honey, the devil's a lot greater than that. The Bible said he's a lion and he seeketh those. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. And so tonight we find out that Simon finds out who Satan is. Let's look at what it says. And Brother Lee's already alluded to the verse, but in Luke 22:31, I wish you'd follow with me in the Bible tonight. Take your pen and some interesting things we're going to find about this door of discovery. Now in Luke 22:31, the Lord had something to say. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, anytime that there's two names mentioned, and the Lord says it for a reason. He says it's to get our attention. So he said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen your brethren. The word converted means to be changed. He said, you're going to have to go through a process. But when you get there finally, I want you to help somebody else in your failure. Now, Peter found out who that Satan was. And here we see Satan's desire. He hath desired. Mom and Daddy, Satan desires to get you. I seen my little grandbabies come out of the choir tonight going down. And the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart. You know, it's the systematic, basic things that go a long way in children's life. A lot of times, just because we're not swinging off the chandeliers, we think God ain't a-doing nothing. But honey, God's a-doing something every time we turn in the parking lot down at His house. God's impressing people in their lives. And therefore, it's very important we better realize and be on guard, Mom and Daddy. Satan is after your home. Sir, Satan is after your testimony. Ma'am, Satan is after you. Young man, young lady, Satan is after you. Brother Lee's right. Satan hates anything that has anything to do with the Word of God. Therefore, we see Satan's desire. Secondly, we see Satan's design. He said, now I want you to know something, Simon. Not only does he desire you, but he wants to sift you as wheat. See, the devil would love to get everything good in our life out and only leave the bad. But honey, God will get the bad out and leave the good. But I'm come to tell you tonight that the devil has a design. He wants to sift us all as wheat and leave us nothing but the chaff. Nothing that God could ever use. The devil wants it all tonight. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. He's not your friend. And he's not your comrade. He's your enemy. And he's the real deal. And tonight, Simon found out a little bit about who Satan was. There's Satan's desire. There's Satan's design. But I sure am glad there's Satan's defeat. And Jesus said, but I want to tell you something in verse 32. He said, I prayed for you. I'm glad we got somebody tonight that's getting God's attention on our behalf. I'm glad He's a great intercessor. It would be amazing at the prayers that God has said for you individually and individually in my life, in your life, by the good grace of God. Simon goes and he finds this door down at the judgment hall. He don't go in and he denies the Lord. And so I think that a light come on when Simon went through that door and denied Him. I think a light went on about Satan. Satan is our enemy. He's out to defeat us. He's not going to encourage you to do anything in the things of the Lord. And then secondly, not only did he find out something down this door about Satan, but I think he found out a whole lot about Simon. Simon couldn't be trusted. And I know a lot of you, I'm not preaching on small standards and weak measures. We all have things and opportunities in our life. But I would be real careful that I would think that I had arrived. Moses, the most meekest man in the world, he lost his temper and he struck the rock when God told him to speak to it, and it cost him from going in the promised land. Honey, you better not trust your flesh no further than you can throw it all tonight. Simon found out something about Simon. Simon denied the Lord. He'd walked on water. He'd seen God do many things, children. I asked you, how could a man like this deny the Lord? I asked you, how could one of God's right-hand men said, I don't know Him? Well, I think I found some things in the Bible Simon found out. You'll notice, first of all, sort of where Simon started going wrong. Look at Mark 8 and 27. Mark 8 and 27. Simon got messed up around the Word of God to start with. In Mark 8 and verse 27, I want you to notice, Jesus went out and His disciples to the towns of Caesarea and Philippi. By the way, He asked His disciples, saying to them, whom do men say I am? They answered, John the Baptist. Some say you're Elias, and others say you're the prophet. He said to them, but whom say you that I am? And Peter spoke up and he answered and said, thou art the Christ. He charged them that they should tell no man of Him. And watch in verse 31, the whole gospel starts to change. Jesus is introducing something of a teaching to these disciples they've never heard. And look what He says. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things. They hadn't heard nothing about this. And be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Look what Peter done in verse 32. And I want to mention this. Peter had a warped perspective. He had a warped perspective. He spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Ain't that something? That we get down on God's level and going to tell Him something. Can I tell you, God knows the answer of every question that's ever been asked. God knows what's going to happen for the red light change. We're not to discuss things and question God and tell Him or try to put Him in His place that we know more than Him. There's times we may question the Lord. But may I sort of punt back and say this, there's never times we ought to be telling the Lord that He's wrong. Now, Peter done pretty good till the cross come up. Something dawned on him. If you go on the cross, I'm following you. That must tell me I'm headed toward the cross with you. And I don't want none of that kind of living. That's the problem with Christianity today, Brother Jake. They want a fuzzy, feel-good feeling, but they don't want a cross laid upon them. Jesus said, if any man would follow me, he'd have to bear his own cross. And if you're going to serve the God of this Bible, you're going to have a cross to bear. Simon said, I don't want nothing to do with this cross. And therefore, he had a warped perspective. Mark 9, verse 2, he had a wrong perception. Mark chapter number 9. Notice in verse number 2, after 6 days, Jesus taketh him Peter, James, and John, leadeth them up to a high mountain apart with themselves. He was transfigured before. His raiment became shining, exceedingly white as snow.
so as no fool on earth could wipe them. There appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Isn't it amazing that Peter had the wrong perception? You see, Peter put the Lord in the same basket as the two other men. Can I remind you tonight that it ain't no time to build nobody a tabernacle but Jesus? It ain't no time to brag on nobody but the Lord, because there's nobody like Him. My goodness, Peter had the wrong perception of who the Lord was, and he put the Lord down on other men's level. May God help us in our perception tonight that there's nobody like Jesus. Peter spoke up. He ought to have had his mouth shut. Man, he went up on a high place, and Jesus showed forth His glory. Peter got excited. He said, man, this is so good. Let's just build all of y'all a shrine. God spoke from heaven. He said, listen, boy, Jesus is my beloved Son. Hear Him. And oh my, tonight, let's never get confused. We should never. I want to say something. We ought to always respect the man of God. We ought to always appreciate what the man of God does for us with the sacred calling upon his life. But he's a long way from Jesus. I know some of the greatest preachers in the country, but honey, unless the Holy One come down, there'll be nothing happen. It's all Jesus tonight. Peter got caught up and he forgot about the pecking order. Don't you forget about the pecking order. God runs things. His Son means everything to Him. And it ought to mean everything to us. Peter had a warped perspective. He had a wrong perception. And Mark 14, I want to say he had wicked pride. Mark 14, turn to the right in your Bible, verse number 26. Mark 14, 26. Peter had some pride in him. Be careful about pride, because pride is the expression of self. Pride means self is superior to others. Now I want to say in Mark 14 and verse number 26, here the Bible says, when they had sung a hymn, they went out on the Mount of Olives. Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I'm risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me three times. Peter was feeling his Wheaties. He said, Lord, he said, John may leave. And Judas, he's all about money. I know he's going to bail out on you anyway. Said, Thomas, we can't even get him down to Sunday night prayer meeting. Said, he won't show up in our time. But Lord, I got it handled. I'm going to go with you the end of the world. You know, I be careful when inside of me goes to boiling out, getting bigger than my britches. Mama had a saying at home. She'd say, son, when your daddy gets home, she's supposed to take them slack up in your britches because you're getting too big for your britches. Help me tonight. I'm going to tell you, Peter had some wicked pride in him. Be careful to say what I'm going to do or what I'm going to... May I say the devil got in trouble with God and got thrown out of heaven when his eye got bigger than God's eye. I will ascend above the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. We better be careful when we go to esteeming ourselves higher than anybody else. Now, Peter found something out about himself. We see his warped perspective, his wrong perception, his wicked pride. In Mark 14:35, look what we find now in the Bible about Simon. He had weak praying. Mark 14:35. He went forward and a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible for the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible to thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping. And isn't it amazing how the Holy Ghost mentions him and saith unto Simon Peter, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Listen to me, church. Listen to the man of God tonight. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Had weak praying. You know, if I had to do away with study or prayer time, I'd do away with study to be sure I talk with God. And I don't belittle studying the Bible tonight, but let me tell you something. Prayer is so important with God. I remember one time Megan brought Sophie to the house. It's one of them midweek drop and runs. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Come in, say, we're just going to stay here an hour or so. And about 3 o'clock, you look at Renee and say, where'd the young'uns go? Amen. But I love them, and I'm glad that they can be there. And so Sophie was there early that day, and I went into my study to pray, and I've got a pine floor. I've got a chair there in my study. I've used that as my altar, and I get in that, and I pray, try to every morning of my life that I live. I go to my altar and pray first. I was in there praying, Brother Lee, and I heard the pine boards cracking, and I felt something come around me and start patting me on the shoulder. I looked around, and there's a little 3-year-old child with her head bowed down. I'd ask you something tonight. Has your babies ever caught you praying? Oh my, it's so important in my life. You say, Brother Ken, you're the pastor of Liberty Baptist Church. You ought to pray every day. That's exactly right, honey. But every member of Liberty Baptist Church ought to pray every day of our life. We got to have it. The Lord said, couldn't you just watch with me an hour? I mean, couldn't you just... Let me tell you, when we've got too busy to pray, honey, we done got way too busy. I'd ask you tonight, you got a place to pray? I know it's a lot of prayers. Lay down on a pillow. Lord, thank you for the day. Good night. I'm talking about, is there a place specifically in your life you go and pray? It'll change your life. It'll change your house. It'll change your outset. It'll change your outlook about your neighbor. It'll change your outlook about your preacher. It'll change your outlook about your enemy if you just pray. Wouldn't it be amazing if we went and called somebody out on the carpet? We went to our altar and prayed for her. Wouldn't it be something, Mom and Daddy, before you jerked your young'uns up and beat the hair off the head, you went to your altar and prayed for her? Help me now. I'm preaching down where you live tonight. When I feel things start coming in my flesh, I ought to run to my altar and say, God, kill my flesh. God, help me. I'm going to tell you something. Miss Renee's found out about her golf cart. If she don't plug it in, it don't work. Honey, you can ride it. You can ride it all day. Grandbabies come ride it out. But I can tell you one thing. After it's rode, it better get plugged up or not. You're not going to ride it tomorrow. Same way it is in our life. We've got to get our battery charged back. A lot of times we wonder why God ain't saving, God ain't moving. Maybe because we ain't spending enough time getting our batteries charged up. We want the preacher to be the worship leader. We want the preacher to be everything. Honey, let me tell you, we got to do our part in the house of God. Stay tuned up and cleaned up and ready to go to meeting when we get here. You got a place you pray. You don't know how important it is that I've got families in this church that prays for me as I travel. You got no idea what it means to me that I got families that would pray for me every day and say, God, help my preacher today. I'd ask you to pray for me.
If you won't pray for your children, would you pray for mine? If you won't pray for yourself, would you pray for this preacher? I sure do need your prayer. Simon found out something about Satan. He found out something about Simon. We see that he had wrong perception, wicked pride. He had weak praying. And look at Mark 14:43. He had woeful performance. Look what Peter did. Mark 14:53. I can relate to him. Mark 14:53. And they led Jesus away the high priest. And with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even unto the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants, and he warmed himself with the fire. Now, I want you to notice that after this week praying, that in Mark 14:43, look right here now. And immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the twelve, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given him a token, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. They laid their hands on him and took him. And one of them that stood by, the other Gospels say it's Peter, drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Jesus answered, said to them, are you come out against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? Now I want you to notice something else that I put into my notes about this thing of a woeful performance. Hold your spot because I'm coming back in Mark, but I want you to see this little nugget I found yesterday in Matthew 26:47 about this sword cutting business. Matthew 26:47. I want you to look what the Lord said that I never had picked up on it. On this same parallel gospel, Matthew 26:47. Now, while he yet spake, Judas, one of the twelve, came with a great multitude with swords, staves, from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same he shall hold him fast. And he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand, drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. And look what Jesus said in verse 52. This little nugget I want to share with you. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his body. He had problem with Peter pulling his pocket knife out a lot. He had to tell him again. Said, I done told you once, now I got to tell you again. It ain't fighting time, it's praying time. Sometimes it is fighting time. And they about to hang the preacher on the tree. Some of you big boys need to stand up and be a big boy. Somebody say amen. But honey, we're talking about the sovereign things of God. Jesus had to go to Calvary to take care of our sins. Jesus said, you're thinking about the flesh, Peter. Said, I done told you I got to go to Calvary to stay in your place. I've noticed this a lot of times with people in their woeful performance. They feel like they got to do something in public because they lack something in private. They try to overreact and be a big dog. I'm spiritual, but they ain't done nothing over in private. Matter of fact, if you'd get caught up in your private praying, you wouldn't have to pray so long publicly. That at Miss Renee's home church, she won't mind me telling me, it's just on the radio, I don't care if they hear it, said, used to, they'd call on a man while people go out and crank her car and warm it up before he got done praying. What are you saying? Well, you ain't got to pray an hour or 15 minutes and make folks think you know something about God. Say what's on your heart and talk to the Lord. We ought to talk to Him a long time in private. Not try to make a show and prove that we something in front of somebody. Anybody helping? Is it helping anybody now? I felt a little friction rare up in. Honey, let me tell you, we'd take things in private. And things in public would take care of themselves a lot of times. Peter, all of a sudden, he just pulls his sword out. I believe he toted a case pocket knife. Somebody say to me. I like a good pocket knife. I like a good sharp pocket knife. Parker come over the other day, just now got into knives. So I've given him a couple of old cheap knives. And boy, they caught me on the show the other night. I ought to have been in my prayer altar praying. I got caught up on that TV. You buy 200 knives for $87. Brother Jerry, they sent me enough knives. You know what they're good for? Just give away. Brother Randall, they took them down to Roanoke Fleet Ark, and old men said, oh, we done seen them. We can't use none of them. I said, I can't either. I wish I was in a bed of sleep that night. Come on now, help me tonight. Help me. Preaching down where we live. And I told Parker, I said, be careful now. That thing will cut you, boy. It'll cut you. Showed him how to close. He does pretty good opening. He's got problems closing it. That's like some of y'all's mouths I pastor. Help me now. Well, Parker went home, got that pocket knife I gave him. He was in his room. His daddy come in. He'd opened up that knife. Guess what he'd done? He closed it on his little old finger, and he's just a spurting blood everywhere. He wrapped it up and run off in behind a Christmas tree. He had... His daddy come in and said, Parker, what are you doing? He said, don't let my mama know. Yeah. If it ain't wrong, tote a knife, sharp knife. Just be careful how you use it. And so here we find that Peter, he was easy to jump the gun. We see his woeful performance. And then Mark 14:53. Look at the next issue we find out about Peter. Mark 14 and verse number 53, the Bible simply said this. They led Jesus away, the high priest. With him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off. Now watch your Bible. Watch it. Even in the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Now, it's something else when you stand with them, but honey, when you sit down with them, you're going to get in a pile of trouble. And you know what I've noticed about mean people? Just don't hang out around them. Life's too short to cook hamburgers with mean people. Somebody say amen. I ain't going to fool with mean people. Not going to do it. I'm too busy. And life's too short. And so therefore we find out that he had not only a woeful performance when he swung that sword, but for the text that is read, he hung out around worldly people. Be careful who you hang out with. Be careful. Because we're human. And I'm preaching by experience. Spirit's willing, flesh is weak. You go hanging around the wrong crowd, you start doing what they're doing. And for long, it don't matter that you're doing it now. But it mattered back yonder, it may matter tonight. Be careful. He hung around the wrong people. And this thing about it, he didn't just go on through there and figure it out he's around the wrong crowd. He sat down. Be careful. Be careful. Say, if I was Peter, I wouldn't have done that. I'd be careful to say that. Worldly people. Then, watch this. Not only we find out he had an issue with worldly people, but he had a problem with a warning phrase. Look in verse 66. Peter was beneath in the palace. There cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warning himself, she looked on him and said, and thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out on the porch, and the cock crew, the rooster went off. You know why it went off? Because the Lord told him it was going to go off. There was a warning phrase in his life. Then lastly, look now in verse 69, he had willful profanity. Mark 14:69.
And a maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, "This is one of them." And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, thy speech agreeth thee." But he began to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not this man of whom you speak."
Willful profanity. Be careful what you say in front of your children, because they'll say it after you. Be careful what your language is. We pick up way too much language off the TV. It becomes our common vernacular, and I don't believe the Lord is happy with it. Be careful to choose your words. My mama used to grab us if we was to say something ugly. My daddy had a saying, "Boy, I'm a fixin' to whoop you and I ain't turn you loose till it thunders." It thundered all right. He turned me loose after he thundered. We ought to watch our language. And the TV in our homes, we ought to watch what it's saying to our children and to our families. Now, Peter found out something about Satan. When he walked under there and the cock crowed and he got down at that door, don't y'all think he found out something about Simon? Would y'all agree with your preacher that tonight? He found out something about Simon. But I want to finish this sermon with this. Not only did he find out something about Satan and something about Simon, Peter found out a whole lot about the Savior. Matter of fact, he never would have known about the Lord like this till he had become a failure. You know, I appreciate people that have went through things in life and they have failed. And they realize that failure ain't final. Matter of fact, if failure was final, ain't none of us to be here because we've all been failures. Now, I want you to notice what he found out about the Savior. You'll notice that Peter left the Lord at the cross, at the phrase over there. But he found out that to that same cross he must return. Now, in Luke 22:31, I want you to notice that. In Luke 22:31. The Lord said unto Simon, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I want you to know I've prayed for you that the faith fail not, and when you converted, strengthen your brethren." I want to ask something. How was Peter restored to the day of Pentecost that he'd preach it, get up and preach, and thousands would be saved? What happened to Peter? How could a man go from denying the Lord and all of a sudden God uses him to see thousands saved? I want to say we've got a great picture of our Savior. First of all, you'll notice the way he come back was there was a praying work by Jesus. I'm glad the Lord prays for us. I'm glad He's interested in us. And that's what we want to sometimes forget, that we feel like maybe we're just a number and we're such a little fish in a big pond. But let me tell you, the Lord's interested in little fish. I'm glad we find out about our Savior as a praying work. Number two, look in Luke 22:60. Here's a great nugget in the Word of God. Luke 22:60. The Bible said, and Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. Here it is, verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord. how he'd said to him before the cock crow, "Thou shalt deny me thrice." The Savior has a powerful word. Isn't it amazing? Psalmist David said, "I've hid thy word in my heart." Now, notice this. Every time I sin, not only is there a praying work going on, there's a powerful word in me that's always giving me enlightenment. That's why preaching and teaching the Word of God is so important. That it becomes so systematic in what we do that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We got to hear it over and over and over again. And so the Word came alive to Peter. He remembered what the Lord said. Has anybody ever remembered what the Lord's had to say to you? But Luke 22:61, watch this. Not only His praying work and His powerful Word, but the Lord had a pitiful watch. I'm glad the Lord shows mercy and compassion. In Luke 22, in verse number 61, the Bible said, "And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord." Somebody asked this, "What is pity, preacher?" Pity is your pain in my heart. You ever talk to somebody and they told you something that had happened in their life or to somebody else, and you had pity for them? You know what that means? It means that their pain has walked up into your heart when you show them pity. The Lord showed pity to Simon Peter. As He looked unto him with that pitying watch, Peter was never the same. I want you to notice that the Lord had not denied Peter, but Peter denied the Lord. And Jesus didn't say this. We ought to learn this. If you could get anything tonight, I wish you'd get this point. Jesus did not say, "I told you so." He just had a pitying look. Aren't you glad, Brother Vince, we got a God, His eyes is full of mercy tonight? But Lee, aren't you glad that we've got a God that don't look at us in wrath, but He sees His Son, and therefore He shows us grace, mercy, and pity, and compassion of what He's done at Calvary. Boy, the Lord looked at Peter. You know something? The Lord didn't have to say nothing. Can you imagine all that Peter had experienced and done in his life, and when he denied the Lord, and the Lord there at Calvary, He looked at Peter? Can you imagine how that look changed his life? I sure am glad the Lord shows us mercy. I'd love to tell you there's been times that I've always done 110%, but I hadn't. But I want to say this, the Lord's always give 110%. Sherry, I want you to come tonight if you just play something softly for me. I'm about done. Now, how did the Lord restore Peter? How did he do it? His praying work, His powerful word, His pity and watch. But Mark 16, I'm going to show you something. I don't know if you've ever seen it in just a minute. But in Mark 16, verse number 1, they went down to the tomb, and I want to use this, that he reached Simon by the passionate witness. We find in Mark 16, verse number 1, they get down to the tomb, and very early in the morning, in verse 2, to rise of the sun, they got down there and they found Jesus was gone. Verse 5, they entered into the sepulcher. They saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. Now, I want you to remember this. Peter's not seen the Lord since the cross. I'm sure he wished he'd got some things straightened out. He looked upon Peter and they took him and they crucified him. And he said unto them, "Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which is crucified. Now, he's risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Now, look what the Holy Ghost done in this passionate witness. But I want y'all to go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter. He goeth before you into Galilee. He said, I want you to tell all them boys, but I want you to magnify this phrase. Tell Peter. I got up. Tell Peter. I love him. I don't know if maybe some Bible scholars here tonight have seen this, but I've never seen this until I found it yesterday. It's amazing what's in the Bible. But I want to close with this last statement. He brought Peter back by his praying work, his powerful word, his pitying watch, his passionate witness. But lastly, by this private wonder. Luke 24 is where it's at. Turn with me there, then I'm done. Luke 24. I wish I could find some scholars that could have something to say about it, but every book that I've got on it, you know what they say? Just like what I'm fixing to tell you. It's a private wonder. Luke 24. Remember, there was two of them on the Emmaus Road. Remember, Jesus appeared to them. They said, did not our hearts burn within us while He talked to us the Word, by the way? Now look what the Bible says. He said in Luke 24, verse number 34, He said, they said in 33, they rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with Him, saying, the Lord's risen indeed. And look what He says, and hath appeared to Simon. They told what things were done in the way, and how He was known of them, and breaking Him bread. Private wonder. Does this not tell us that our deepest experiences with the Lord's in a secret place? Peter had some matters to settle with the Lord, and in some private place, the matter got settled. The Lord came to Peter, and they had a private meeting. Could you just imagine? Oh, Peter. Lord, I've messed up so. Lord, how can I ever serve You again? How could You ever use me again? But He walked up to him and had a private meeting. And I'm glad what that we can do in public, God can restore in private. What you need tonight? What you need?